Well, welcome to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. I'm Dave Ball, and here in the studio with me is the host of Money Life and Crown CEO, Chuck Bentley. And Chuck, today we get to open up your email inbox and read some of the questions that our listeners have sent to you.
Dave, I get a wide variety of email. You can only imagine as you broadcast your email address out there to the public. So it's very enjoyable. Almost all of them are encouraging. And right now, many people are sharing with me their New Year's resolutions. Oh. So we're going on a journey together to stay on track to fulfill the things we committed to on the new year.
That's great. And, you know, one of the things I've noticed, because I have the privilege of being able to see many of those emails as well, is the number of people whose lives have been radically impacted by this ministry. And it's kind of that's the gas in our tank.
Well, it is, Dave. It's what encourages us to do this day in and day out. And we are blessed when we know that we're making a difference in the lives of our listeners. In fact, I've received an email that was so poignant just this week that I thought I should share it with our listeners because it came from Dubai. Now, this person was desperately looking for help online and just happened to find us because they wanted godly counsel because of their situation. In Dubai, if you are not able to pay your bills and you have financial problems, you can get arrested for it and go to jail. So his particular situation is he was not able to live on a budget and he had bounced some checks. And he was now in jeopardy of going to jail over that. Can you imagine the pressure, Dave? And it just reminded me of the amount of pain that's out there around finances and how difficult the circumstances can be in people's lives. And imagine if we all were faced with that choice to either live within my means or go to jail. Very serious circumstances. And I was just so grateful that we're here, that they had a place to reach out to, and that we can help this person avoid overspending, bouncing checks, and going to jail. What a joy it is to be able to serve people in that way. And I want to thank our listeners who make that possible, Dave. I cannot help but hope that they share the same joy that we have when they participate in being a financial partner with us, that these testimonies bless their lives as well.
Well, as we say very often here, you can write Chuck directly at chuckbentley@crown.org and send a question. You can tell your story or you can just make a comment, but we'd love to hear from you. Again, that's chuckbentley@crown.org. We'll take a short break and be back with some of your questions. You're listening to Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries.
Feels like talking to your young child about money just isn't enough. There's a fun, easy, and visual way you can show them how to honor God with their money. The ABC Learning Bank from Crown Financial Ministries. This popular tool goes beyond the traditional piggy bank. Created with three colorful compartments in the shape of letters, the ABC Learning Bank will give your child a fun, hands-on learning experience as they discover that A is for giving, B is for saving, and C is for spending. Imagine them applying that learning for a lifetime. The ABC Learning Bank is recommended for children ages 3 and older. To order an ABC Learning Bank for a child in your life, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. Again, the ABC Learning Bank is available by calling 1-800-722-1976 or visiting crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we are pulling some of your questions out of Chuck's email box and answering them today. And if you'd like to ask Chuck a question, you can write him directly at chuckbentley@crown.org. Chuck, let's get started. And this first one comes from a listener in College Station, Texas, and she writes, "My husband and I both work. The tithe on his paycheck goes to the church, and mine goes to various other ministries. We're faithful to follow our giving plan, but I'm concerned that our giving is too rigid and structured. I think we fall way short of the area of free will giving or just plain generosity. How can we improve in this area? Should we set up a free will envelope, or does that just put us back into a box?"
Wow, that is a very interesting question.
That's a great question.
You know, if you divide the U.S. population into two very simple buckets, Dave, about 40% of our population live beyond their means, and they struggle with financial issues, meaning they're typically overspending, struggling with debt, struggling with managing what they have. And then there's the other 60% of the population that do quite well. They're able to live debt-free. They're able to pay off their credit card balances every month. They're able to truly stay on top of it. Now, this is an example of a couple that's really staying on top of it. Yeah. My goodness, she's asking how to be less rigid, which I love the question because there are people who get into that trap. So let me give you some specific answers. Instead of setting up a free will giving envelope, here's what I'd suggest. Set up an envelope called God's money. Now, I would include in that envelope any new income, surplus income, that would accumulate over and above your normal wages or earnings. That would be gifts you receive, any inheritance, any bonus money, or just plain surprises, money you did not expect. I would put it in that envelope, and about two times a year, I'd check the balance, and I'd ask the Lord, what are you leading me to do with that money? Thank you that you've given it to me. Do you want us to give it away? Do you want us to treat it as our offering to you to help your people and advance your kingdom? Or he may want you to do something else with it. The Lord may want you to invest it. But you need to feel the freedom to allow the Lord to guide you and to break out of this total rigidity. It's almost becoming a form of legalism to you. And you want to have the freedom and the joy to give from your heart or to do with it whatever God says to do with it. Now, there is a way to increase your generosity annually. And it sounds like you and your husband would both prefer a method that increases your annual giving without necessarily being spontaneous like I'm recommending. And if that's the case, many couples develop a system where their annual giving starts at 10% of their gross income, and then they add an additional 1% for every year of their marriage. Or they'll agree on a set amount for each new year, like we're going to give $2,000 more this year than we gave last year. And they keep doing that. And over the years, they've developed a system that allows them to increase in their generosity and to grow in unity about where they're giving, how they're giving, and what God is leading them to do with those funds. And I've seen it work very, very well. So one of those two methods, either start the envelope and just be spontaneous as the Lord leads you, or set up a method that allows you to grow in your charitable giving. But thanks for asking. Thanks for listening. Thanks for writing this.
Well, this next question is also on the area of giving and generosity. And this listener writes, we receive your Money Matters newsletter and are monthly supporters of Crown. We want to know what you think about a group we recently became involved with called Kiva. This is an organization that enables donors to provide funding for loans to be made to underprivileged entrepreneurs in third world countries. The loans are made interest-free from the donor, but they're managed by a commercial finance company, which undoubtedly charges interest to the recipient. Repayment is not guaranteed, but repayment rates are extraordinarily high at over 98%. What are your thoughts about Kiva?
Well, I am very familiar with Kiva, and I appreciate what they do. I appreciate the leadership of that organization. They're great folks. They're in a space called micro-lending, and it's become a very popular way to try to help people be lifted out of poverty. It's a hand up, not a hand out. I think micro-lending is a sound way to help people, but it does generally have some downsides. Now, this is not specific to Kiva or any other organization, but from my own personal knowledge and study about microlending, let me give you a couple things to think about. First, microlending does not address corruption. It's a loan that helps people to start businesses. That's a good thing. But if corruption exists and is not dealt with, it typically will kill the economy in the developing world. So in and of itself, microlending is not a standalone solution. Secondly, repayment rates are typically extraordinarily high, but that actually paints a pretty flawed picture of microlending. Most people will repay what they call the institutional or the formal loan regardless of the cost. They don't want to be embarrassed. They want to be sure that that loan above all else gets paid back, even if they don't have the money. So what do? They borrow from their family and friends in an informal loan, and sometimes they borrow from the local loan shark. So many times these informal lending practices or the predatory lenders They charge rates 10 times higher than what the borrower received from the formal lender. So I've gone in areas where we've seen interest rates as high as 300% to pay back a microloan. So it's just been terrible. There was a study done by the New York Times on the microloans made by Grameen Bank that Mr. Muhammad Yunus won the Nobel Prize in Bangladesh for loaning money to the poor. And they discovered that the borrower typically only uses the money to start a business or to increase their income by in 50% of the cases. The other 50%, they use it for personal needs. So those are some of the downsides. Don't let me discourage you from being charitable with those who are in that space. In fact, I've recently endorsed two excellent books that deal with this topic. One is called When Helping Hurts by Dr. Brian Fickert, and the other is by a friend of mine, another friend of mine, called Let the Poor Be Glad by Peter Greer of Hope International. So great organizations, great question. Hope that gives you a lot of the information you were looking for.
And links to those books can be found on the related content page for today's program. Just go to crown.org/radio. And Chuck, kind of keeping in that same vein, here is another question. This is regarding church giving. It says, I'm a part of a small church that has a limited budget. For the past few years, we've supported three different missionaries each month. But recently, it's been proposed that we cut the support in order to give the pastor a raise because he's making less money through his teaching job this year. I have strong feelings about churches supporting missions, and I wanted some guidance from you about how to approach this.
Well, Dave, that appears to be a very simple question, but in fact, it has lots of good opportunities to teach some biblical principles, which I want to do, but I want to go a little bit deeper when we come back.
You're listening to Money Life. We'll take a short break and be right back.
You know, God encourages us to invest, and he says in Ecclesiastes 11:2 to spread out or diversify to lower our risk. And one of the best ways to diversify is mutual funds. That's why Crown Financial Ministries offers the Sound Mind Investing Handbook, a step-by-step guide to managing your money from a biblical perspective written by Austin Pryor. Recently updated to address timely topics, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook is one of the most comprehensive guides available on mutual fund investing. Yet, it's still easy to understand and use. And since this handbook is written from a biblical perspective, it'll teach you how to apply God's financial principles to your investing decisions. So whether you're a beginning investor or one with more experience, the Sound Mind Investing Handbook will help you invest more wisely. To get a copy, go to crown.org or call 1-800-722-1976. That's 1-800-722-1976 or crown.org.
Welcome back to this edition of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Today we're answering your questions. And Chuck, before the break, we read a question from a listener about the support of missions through the local church and the basis of that in Scripture.
Well, Dave, there are so many implications to that question. It appears easy on the surface, but let me give you a biblical principle. In 1 Corinthians 9, Paul spoke about this. He wrote, "For it is written in the law of Moses, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain." Is it about oxen that God is concerned? Surely he says this for us, doesn't he? Yes, this was written for us because when the plowman plows and the thresher threshes, they ought to do so in the hope of sharing in the harvest. And he goes on to say, if we have sown spiritual seed among you, is it too much if we reap a material harvest from you? If others have this right of support from you, shouldn't we have it all the more? So what Paul is saying is that if you're receiving teaching from your pastor that's benefiting the body of Christ, he should be able to receive support, and that should be a priority for the leadership of your church. In fact, there's no greater way to discourage a pastor, and in some cases even turn them bitter, by saying, we're not going to be sensitive to your own personal needs. We're also spiritual. We're also committed to missions and other things that we're just not going to take care of you. So I think you're actually seeing an opportunity to demonstrate generosity to the one who is, in fact, doing their very best to lead the church. So I think it's a priority to take care of the needs of the pastor. Secondly, I think it's a priority to have missions in your church. In a declining environment, the first priority is to take care of your pastor and then to expand and to take care of mission. So that would be the priority that I think is acceptable according to the principles from God's Word. Now, if your leadership is saying, this is what we recommend, and you can't go along with that, as opposed to creating division and strife, then you maybe are called to not be a part of that body. But if the leadership is saying they've consulted with the Lord and they've made a decision, then I would recommend that you go along with it and you put your confidence in the leadership that the Lord has put over the church. I think that would be the way I would approach that.
Chuck, this next question comes from a listener in Colorado, and he writes, I'm a teacher here in Colorado, where budget cuts in education are expected this year. I have some debt on a credit card, and I owe on two cars, so I'm concerned about what's going to happen. I'm also a pastor, and I've been planting a church. However, the church is dissolving. The supplementary income I've received from the church has been needed, and without it, I don't know how we'll make it. The church is going to pay me a final sum of money for services provided, but it will only be a few thousand dollars. What would your advice be for me?
Well, it's interesting how these two questions are interrelated. You have a person who is bivocational, serving as a teacher, going through a downsizing, and then a church that's going through a difficult time as well, but one who is serving as a pastor. So, Greg, I want to encourage you. First of all, thank you for what you're doing to serve the Lord and to advance His kingdom. I appreciate the efforts that you've made, but you need to get really serious about getting your financial house in order this year. So I would set as your focus, as your goal for 2010, to get your finances in good shape. The first thing I would do is I'd make plans to get rid of all consumer debt. That's any unsecured debt. Get rid of it. Get rid of the debt on those credit cards, and then start working on getting those cars paid for. That needs to be a top priority. Third, do not incur any new debt in 2010. No matter what you have to do to make these adjustments, do not add new debt. It's the wrong time to be doing it. We're in an environment where people are spending less across the board, and you need to join them. And then number four, look for ways to replace the income that you're losing as a part-time pastor. You have a big opportunity in your field of education. There are many entrepreneurial endeavors outside the classroom. Tutoring, test prep franchises, online teaching. In fact, we're paying in our home right now for a course where T is studying for the SAT. And the teacher is excellent at it. And she's also an educator, but she teaches this on the side. And it's beneficial for us. It's beneficial for the teacher. It's a great little side gig for a teacher. So I would look for those in your space. And then finally, as soon as you get rid of the debt and you get your income stabilized, you need to begin to save more money. And I'd recommend that you get a copy of our money map. It's the very best guide that I could recommend for you. Show it to your family and get on a plan to go on the money map journey and to get your financial house in order. And I hope that's helpful to you. If you need one of our coaches to help you, be sure and contact one of our coaches. That's what they're trained to do. They're volunteers. They can help you be successful. And then start every day praying and asking God to intervene in your finances. I want you to stay in touch and let us know how you're doing on this journey.
Chuck, one of the other things that's really important, especially when a man is either facing unemployment or a reduction in his income and having to change lifestyles, is to get the family behind him. So everybody's working together in that process.
I love to say the best strategy is to divide into offense and defense. Who is better at making money? Mm-hmm. Then let them go and do that. Give them the offensive side of the equation. Who's better in the family at saving money, dealing with the bills, paying them on time, getting the budget made, all those type of details. Sometimes the one or the other is really good at it. So mm-hmm. let them be the defensive player in the home while one becomes the offensive player, increasing your income. If you divide that up and you let the children know that you're in a very serious time, go ahead and open up. Let them understand how they can help. They will do their part if they understand how they can contribute. And then pray together. Ask the Lord to demonstrate His faithfulness to your family through this time of transition, because God can actually draw your family closer together in a crisis as opposed to destroying it, as it does so often when families go through financial difficulties. So, Dave, great point. Get the family involved. Divide up responsibilities. Go before the Lord and protect your unity. Don't let Satan destroy your family through this.
Well, we're answering your questions today. And by the way, you can write Chuck with your question at chuckbentley@crown.org. We'll take a short break and be right back.
What would you say if I told you that in 10 short weeks you could decrease your debt, increase your savings, and strengthen your relationships while growing spiritually? Sound too good to be true? Well, all of these results are being reported by thousands who have completed the Biblical Financial Study from Crown Financial Ministries. This 10-week study teaches you more than practical principles about managing money. It focuses on the life-changing truth of God's Word. Individuals are being transformed as they learn proven biblical principles and how to apply them to their finances. To find a biblical financial study group in your area, go online to the My Crown section of crown.org. And if there's not a Crown 10-week biblical financial study already planned in your area, consider starting one. To find out how, call 1-800-722-1976 or visit crown.org.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries, and we've been answering your questions today. Chuck, we often recommend that people get in touch with a Money Map coach, either in their area or online. How can people do that?
Go to crown.org. Right there on the front page, you see a big shield, a red and blue shield that says Money Map. You can log in. You can buy the map there. You can find an online coach there. It's free. You will not be embarrassed. These people are trained and dedicated and very capable of helping you. It's one of the easiest, most effective services that we provide through this ministry, and I hope you'll take advantage of that.
Well, we have time for maybe one more question, and this question comes from a listener in New Prague, Minnesota. She writes, I believe the Bible tells us in Titus 2:3-5 that women are to bear children and be homemakers instead of working outside the home. But my husband and I have gotten into financial trouble since we had our little one, and I quit my job to be at home with her. My husband wants me to go back to work and put our daughter in daycare. I don't agree, and we've had numerous ugly fights over this. Can you give us some direction?
I sure can. I'm going to do it rather quickly. The first thing I want you to do is to respect your husband's opinion, because it is not worth losing your marriage over. Do not fuss and fight over this issue. If your husband is wrong, still, I want you to submit to his opinion and respect him and see how God uses your kind and humble attitude towards him to bring you into unity. Secondly, do an analysis of the numbers. Maybe the gap isn't as great as it seems. Let's say you got a $500 monthly gap. Is it possible that through staying at home and saving money and being very aggressive about getting on a budget and being careful with your spending, that you can help close that gap without having to go to work? And then finally, get in touch with one of our Money Map coaches who will help you do the analysis as to whether or not the income you earn and the expenses that you'll have with daycare will actually close the gap. Be sure you're not making a false assumption that going back to work will do the job. Now, after you've done the analysis, after you've become very agreeable to follow the direction of your husband, to show him respect, then pray together. Say, you know, Lord, we're not going to solve this by having a battle over this. We're going to solve it by coming together in unity, protecting our marriage, protecting the family, and finding the right solution. So say, honey, I've done some analysis. Here's what I found out. What do you think? What can we do to really make a difference? And if it's going to work, I'll do that. But here's what the numbers show. And be agreeable. You want to protect your marriage, because that's going to be, in the long run, the best decision you can make out of this.
And along with your own research, you may want to look for a Money Map coach as well. And you can do that at crown.org. You can also find information about Consumer Credit Counseling Service there as well. Just go to crown.org/radio and click on the related content for today's program. Well, we're out of time for today's broadcast, but if you'd like to hear it again, you can go to crown.org/radio and hear it online, or you can sign up for our free podcast there as well. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for joining us for this edition of Money Life.